first segment, basically. Now, we're going to call you a segment now, Jane, not just an interview, not just a guest, because you're a regular now.
And
you do a segment with us called Broad Design.
Yes.
And that usually our design is for women in design.
Yes.
Now, today, however, we've got a special discussion, basically, because you've been overseas visiting an exhibition, well, a very large exhibition of some sort.
Yes, yes. So I've been to Italy, and oh, was it a tough time, I tell you what. I spent just 10 days recently in Italy and got to spend a day at the Venice Biennale. So today we're going to talk about that and interview me, basically.
Absolutely. All right. Well, so for those people that aren't aware of it, tell us, what is the Venice Biennale?
So it is the Olympics of art, basically.
Yep.
So it's been running since 1895 in Venice. It's over 120 years, and this year 32 cities and 16 countries are taking part. It's Venice isn't a big place. And I was quite surprised that they take up a whole gardens, like our botanical gardens. There are permanent pavilions for each country.
Australia has one now.
We have a permanent pavilion there. We've had it for a couple of years. We had a temporary run for a little while. And so you can spend the day going in and out of these. They're not big. They're a room or two, really, each pavilion.
Okay, right.
And also you can sort of trot down a little bit further into Venice, and the old arsenal where they used to build ships is also a big, big, long, long space that you can spend a whole day in there.
And that's part of it as well.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
So what has made it so famous over the years? You know, like within, as you said, it's like the Olympics of in the art world. But why has it emerged as being this big?
It's the contemporary art scene that has come to it. You know, say any big name, say Roy Lichtenstein, Andy Warhol, they were all invited to exhibit there. And there's no other playing field where the world comes together at one place to show their contemporary art. And each country who's invited, there's a curator who creates the whole event, and she invites a curator from each country, and that curator from each country then invites artists. So their job, each artist's job, is to represent their country. So it's quite interesting to see how artists do that, you know, and feel like, well, what's the political issues of the time, or what's happening culturally?
Yep, and I'm sure it has over the years. But what is it to you know, like there's the world fairs that world expos they're called in recent time, which we don't seem to hear much about anymore. The Venice Biennale is very much there in the forefront within the art world. Why do countries, and I know that's a great opportunity for contemporary artists and all that, but it's, you know, it's something that is actually supported very much by the governments of countries.
It is. I think, you know, it's who's the best, and they do give out awards. There's a Golden Lion and Silver Lion given out, emerging artists and sort of established artists. But also they've extended what they represent as the arts as well. Every second year is the Architectural Biennale.
That's right.
And that's huge as well. Australia had that pool, which I think, is that not in Melbourne
that's
at the moment?
That's in the NGV at the moment. We actually interviewed somebody about that recently.
Yeah. So that kind of gives architectural practices, you know, a big world stage to sell their wares as well. But there's also the film festival.
Of course.
Is part of it as well. There's also a dance one and a theatre one. We won't really hear so much about that. But, it's. I think maybe its draw is the fact that it's across everything.
Yeah. And a few years back now, I think it was 2 or 3 years, time flies, Australia built its own permanent fixture, exhibition space, which makes you think that, wow, you know, like, the importance of it if Australia are now building their own exhibition space, you know, like, it shows the commitment from the Australian government within the arts, that is.
I'm trying to find the name. Denton Corker Marshall built the new Australian Pavilion. And it's quite funny because it's very minimalist. It's a big black box hanging out over a canal.
That's right.
And it's holding a white box inside for the art, you know. And you look at all the other pavilions and you can pick the era in which they were built. Like the American one looks like almost a southern mansion in the sugarcane fields.
Oh, really?
And, you know, the German one is very kind of scary. Apparently they did have a statue of Hitler in there at one stage.
Wow.
Yeah, and the current contemporary art that they have in there this year is reacting to that.
Right.
In the space. Mm-hmm.
What about the Italians? What do they do?
Well, they're kind of everywhere. They get pride of place.
Well, of course they would.
Yeah, yeah. The Arsenale, you can just walk bit after bit after bit, and it's they just showcase their own stuff.
So it's by region,
yeah.
With the Italians?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So do they get like a home ground advantage?
Pretty much.
Well, I'm sure they do. But you see, the other thing is, you know, and history tells us is that Italy only came together as a whole country. It was only around about the same time as when Australia was discovered by the whites, wasn't it?
Well, you know, I mean, it is an interesting history, the fact that it's Venice and the fact that it's an art biennale, because they were, you know, that head of the trade route. Don't make me do dates. But, you know, and this Arsenale was where they built all the ships, and that's where their wealth was. So all of a sudden it's no longer building ships, but it's bringing in the world's cultural wealth into that space, which I think is interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and the Italians, to me, have always been the big designers in the world. Look at fashion. They're you know, like right up there with the French on that front. But then furniture design, they're astounding with their design on so many levels. And I feel that it's them and the English who you know, like a neck and neck a lot of the time through history with what they're delivered. So it makes sense to me that it would be
it
in
would be
Italy.
There. Yeah, I agree. I mean, they had the wealth to start it off with in Europe. But, you know, it is interesting walking around Venice and Italy while you're there, and the fashion, the policemen walk by and you just can't stop and do a double take. They're so smart in their uniforms. No,
isn't it Armani?
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I was trying to find that as well. I kept saying, oh, I think, isn't it one of the big fashion designers
does
that?
But it was many years ago.
Yeah. It's still but stunning.
And it's still but they just hold them, you know, like the French, the Italians just hold themselves in a particular way, aren't they? And they always have been very fashion conscious and design conscious.
Yes.
Because I suppose it's part of their DNA.
I'm sure they'd like to think so.
Because they were responsible for so much of design and so much of art. Look at the Renaissance.
Well, exactly. You know, the religions and the sort of heads of state that have had the money to fund all this kind of work, you know.
Well, like Catherine the Great, with that collection that's in Russia. Most of it was actually Italian artists
that they've pitched.
They bought them really cheap. She had her spies, her not real spies per se, but you know, like the art people out in Italy saying, you should buy this, we should get this, because, you know, like they're going to be the next big thing. And I think a good 70 to 80% of them went on to be, you know, like the great artists of the world that they bought really cheap. Before the day.
Do you know who else brought a collection to Venice and at first was exhibited at the Biennale? Was Peggy Guggenheim.
Right.
She has a mansion on the Grand Canal and you can visit it and see her collection, but it was first exhibited at the Biennale she took it
across. Is that where it started? Because I know she has a gallery there, doesn't there? There was a Guggenheim there.
Yeah, it's hers. It's her house and you can... Oh,
what's
beautiful.
It like?
It's
just one of the old...
It's, you know, it's not... I think it's only single story.
Okay.
I certainly didn't go up. It's quite broad, but it's not huge. There's a sort of a courtyard in the middle. One building's kind of where you get your tickets and put your lockers. And there's two other buildings, and one's got the contemporary art and one has a moving exhibition that had all of Picasso stuff in it, but it was only about three rooms.
Yeah, I must admit, I've been there, but it was... Oh, but going back about 17 years, I remember it more like a gallery. I didn't actually know it was her house.
It was her house.
So that's interesting.
There's a big marble sort of throne in the garden. I've got a nice picture of me. I'm sitting on it.
Yeah. And yeah, like, thank God people like her, art collectors, well, Catherine the Great as well, who have supported the arts
who had hobbies through the ages. And had the money to support these hobbies and kept these collections in one place,
And the popes, of course.
Yes, you know,
like,
yes.
Like the Vatican. Have you been to the Sistine Chapel?
Yes, I have.
Just getting to the actual chapel, what you've got to go
the
through.
The corridors and corridors of art. I remember seeing a sort of a papal dress made by Matisse, and that was a shock. Like, you just don't know what you're going to stumble upon walking through all those hallways to get there.
Although a lot of it was given as gifts, as the Queen has, you know, like, she must have whole gallery fulls of the gifts that she was given as well. So here, we've got some messages, and we'll be right back. There's too much to talk about.
Too much.
You're on Joy 94.9. It's Sunday Arts Magazine.
Now, we were talking, David, to we are still talking to Jane about the Biennale, and we're just getting starting into that. So let's just go back and.
I think we should. We were talking a bit about Catholicism and the riches it has in the art world. I think we need to talk about the Pope of Trash, who just happened to appear. When I turned the corner at the Venice Biennale, there was work by John Waters. I couldn't believe.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
What sort of?
So he grew up in Baltimore. Yep. Clearly.
Famous.
Famous.
Good Morning,
yes.
Baltimore.
Hairspray and all that. But you know, he likes to stir things up and not say what people expect. And so he walked past an art school in Baltimore, and it had a big sign that you should study art for a hobby or pleasure. And that was the tagline for studying art. So he just made parodies of these signs. So you could, what was it? You could study art for breeding or bounty, study art for pride or power, prestige or spite or profit or hobby or fun or fame. So they were just beautiful kind of 50s looking 3D signs. And I'm a design educator, so I just thought they were funny. And I started clicking away pictures of them. Then I realised, oh my God, they're John Waters.
Yeah. And of course it would have a 50s feel to it, because he's obsessed with that look.
That stylized.
Even the way he dresses himself is a very 50s style.
Yeah, but the curator of the Biennale just happened to turn up at his 70th birthday party and said, well, I've got this present you just can't not have. And he's like, what? And she's like, I want you to exhibit at the Biennale.
Gosh.
Gosh, so
you know you've made it when somebody actually, you know, gives you a present of here's your entry to it. So what was it like walking into this, legendary and very famous exhibition?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you've experienced Venice, you know it's just hard to find your way around. It's tiny, tiny canals. There's no cars, which a lot of people are still surprised at when they get to Venice.
Oh, really?
That you can't drive anywhere. It's boat or walk. And so I deliberately booked a hotel not far from it, which felt very special, by the way. But just, you know, I had my map, I had my brochure, I'd Googled it, you know, but it still took us a while to figure out how to get there. So that in itself was a real Venice experience. It's like, you know, just getting lost.
The banners flying all over town announcing that it's on?
So, you know, this is the lens that I kept looking at the Biennale was as a designer, you know, let me have a sort of look at this. And so I'm trying to sort of critique the signage as well, and that was just a mess, because you expect to see, you know, branding and banners and arrows on the ground, maybe even sort of follow this red arrow to the Biennale, but nothing like that. You really had to know where you were going.
Okay.
There'd be a big sign out the front saying you're in the right place, but trying to get to that right place was hilarious.
So it's not like how Melbourne, all over Melbourne, when the NGV has got a major exhibition on, we know about it because there's the, you know, like the flags and banners flying everywhere.
Well, at the airport there were, you know, signage, you know, saying it was on, and then you'd catch your water taxi and there was banners at, you know, the water taxi stops and stuff. But that was the advertising. But once you were stuck in the middle of Venice trying to find your way around, and they had curated sort of events right through the island too. There was the two main places, the Arsenale and the Gardens, but you would stumble upon the sign and then realise, oh, there must be an installation, where is it, kind of thing, and look for it.
Yeah, I suppose because it's been around for so long that's why they don't over-advertise it.
Yeah.
And the fact is that you know, like it's mostly tourists that are there that would be going to it, and that's why they're there.
And so it's packed, right? So you, just follow the crowd. The wave of people just take you in the right direction.
Yeah, so they don't have to. And plus, they wouldn't want to clog up Venice, would you, with signage?
No, banners. There's nowhere to put it.
There's nowhere to put it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get there. And a lot of people.
And we'd bought our tickets online, so, you know, it was just in the quick queue at the ticket booth. But then, like, even then, just trying to find which door into the Arsenale was the entry. But that, it was a big, big, huge long corridor. Again, you can just imagine where they made ships. It was that grand a scale. But the theme really seemed to be thread. There was a lot of sort of materials and crochet and sort of installations made out of cloth in that space, which was interesting.
Okay. I wonder why. Would that be commissioned to for that year?
That wasn't the theme. The theme was Viva Art Viva, which I think I was mentioning to you before. It's, you know, last, so it's Biennale every second year. The last one 2 years ago was really deep and political, and the curator wanted to keep it a bit more celebratory and light.
Yep.
And so maybe, you know, that whole idea of lightness came through in this, literally in a material that wasn't heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And really different stuff, or was it stuff that we see around the streets of Melbourne here?
No, really, really different stuff. Maybe there was a big installation that you could walk into. It was like a big tent that was hanging that was kind of crochet, but a traditional materials from maybe Africa, I want to say, but I could be wrong. There was drummers and stuff going on in it. You could come in and out and be a part of it. There was one where a guy had spent months, because it's open for nearly 6 months, the Biennale.
Yeah.
He'd spent a couple of months mending clothes, but he had a huge wall full of coloured cotton reels, and so he'd just pull them off the wall and then sew the clothes and leave the clothes there. So there was this just big web of cotton coming out of a wall and onto a pile of clothes.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he didn't cut after he sewed, just because. Wow, that's wild. I love it. It would have looked quite spectacular.
It did. Well, they're so fine, and the room was white, so the cotton reels drew your eye, and then you'd slowly focus the fact that there was this fine web of threads running through the whole place. That was beautiful. But right at the end was, where's her name? Sheila Hicks. She's like 83, a US-born artist, now lives in Paris. She had these huge, like, beanbag pom-poms, all bright, bright rainbow colours, just filling the end wall of the building and just tumbling down onto the floor. And that was pretty magnificent, just to see that colour sort of at the end and keep coming towards it.
Yeah.
That was quite beautiful.
With it being going for so long, Australia's only just built their pavilion, what was some of the other pavilions like?
Inside the...
Well, they're outside. Yeah, like ours is a box and it's a big black box, or is it? Is that right? Black box?
Yeah, it's a big black box. As I said, the you can tell the era in which each of them were built. So the German one looks very brutalist, and
what was the American?
I can't remember.
did you say it was like a southern mansion?
Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, it was like a southern mansion. That's right. It looked like it was straight on a sugarcane field kind of thing. I think it was based on, what was that president around at that time? He was also an architect, and it was based on his house or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Losing a few facts there. But it looked, straight out of a sugar field. What else did we see? Yeah, just
what about
crazy.
The Japanese?
Yeah, crazy. There was, I think it was the Japanese one, had all neon lights and signage covering it, which was part of the exhibition, so you couldn't really see the building.
And do the Chinese, do they exhibit?
I didn't. Again, so big. It's not one that it's sort of stuck in my mind, and I'm pretty sure I didn't see everything, so I can't quite remember the Chinese. The American one was interesting inside. It had an artist who was using sort of recycled materials, and he was filling the whole space. You had to sort of, it was like this bulbous thing hanging from the roofs, and you had to walk around it. You weren't allowed to touch it, you know, the big do not touch signs. But once you're inside the spaces, I often felt very different from what it was outside.
Yeah.
Mm.
Now, what's what's the ratio like? Is it, pretty equal with sex?
No, that's interesting because that's definitely something I'm interested in the work I do. Like when we talk about broad designs, we look at the women and what they're doing. I did find that only 35% of the 120 participating artists and collectives were women, so it's quite low, really.
But that would vary, though, wouldn't it, from you know, like, each time it's staged?
They do. It was a decent 43% in 2009, then it dropped again in 2013 to only 26%. So it's up and down, up and down.
Yeah, and I wonder why it has those dramatic drops. Because, you know, like the world is so focused these days on you know, like sort of making things very equal, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I kind of, from my research I've done on the design world, you often see when there's female judges on a jury, then the numbers of women will go up. And they've actually had, it's a major female curator doing the 2017 Biennale. So, I mean, getting it up to 35% is probably her work. But I don't know if you know the Gorilla Girls. I've interviewed them on my show in the past. They kind of the arts conscience in the world. They do a lot of this sort of stats. And they've found that no major international exhibition of contemporary art has ever achieved gender parity.
Right.
So, yeah. There's a lot of work to be done, yeah. A lot of work to be done.
And what about the Australian exhibition?
So we had a lady, Tracy Moffat. It's she's.
So we're waving the flag, we're doing the right thing.
And also Indigenous. So the whole idea of intersectionality, we are flying all the flags. So, yeah, she's very impressive. She has four major pieces in the space, two sort of photographic narratives, one called Body Remembers and one called Passage, and two videos, which... take them or leave them, I say. But now, the photographs were beautiful.
Yeah, but I've always loved it, the way that she creates her the scene of her photograph, doesn't she? You know, spends days and days on, you know, like making the set.
Yes.
And the lighting and whatever to then take this photo, which it then follows a thread. What's it actually called?
So the first one is Passage, and you can... read your own narratives in it, and that's what's frustrated a lot of people. I think it's polarised a few people in the arts world. People love it, or people are like, well, what is it supposed to be saying?
It's got a bit of a 50s or 60s feel to it, and it's a little bit bizarre because it's actually an American motorcycle policeman that they follow the narrative. You know, she's following a narrative there with it. I can't work that out.
And it ends with a child in the policeman's hand in front of like a chicken wire fence. There's supposed to be messages of displaced generations in there at some point. And, you know, this kind of American-looking policeman.
Yeah.
Is he the goodie? Is he the baddie? Is he saving? Is he oppressing? You can't really tell.
And why American?
I don't know. It's so cinematic. She apparently, I read briefly somewhere that she was wanted to be a movie maker. And
obvious, yeah. With everything I've seen of hers.
Yes. So, you know, that's the thing. There's a clear narrative. You can see a sequence of events happening with characters and sets and eras, but you're not quite sure what the plot is.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because I've actually had reports back from other people that they were quite disappointed with the Australian exhibition. Yeah. This time around.
The images are big and impressive. You walk into the space and you go, yeah, this feels like art, you know. I walked into some pavilions and it was just like, oh, this feels like bad art, you know. But she was polished, you know. You can see the craft in her photography.
Oh, absolutely. And even just looking at the photos from the catalogue that you've shown us, they look really interesting. I'd like to see them blowing up. But art is
easy to criticize, subjective,
but also trying to work out what it's about.
Yeah.
That was your comment, wasn't it, about being polarizing? People don't, you know, don't understand it, or there's no specific story. So
yeah.
It is probably what you read out of it.
Yeah. Mm.
So you're here on Sunday Arts Magazine, Joy 94.9, and we're talking to Jane about the Biennale still, and I think we're just sort of talking before about the representation of women in the Australian and the Australian entry. Yes. Now, David, you had a couple of questions?
Yeah, well, tell us, you know, like, because you're a design guru, what was your feeling like with the whole feeling, the design, the signage, and which we did touch on the signage, it was a little bit all over the place.
Yes, yes, that was the interesting contrast. I think the branding and the wayfinding of the Biennale overall was quite chaotic, but that is the essence of Italy and Venice. Whereas you go into the Melbourne Pavilion and the branding, which was done by Trigger for Tracy Moffat's Horizon show, was taken into account on the outside of the pavilion, on all the printed material. There was a logo created for her show. So it felt, again, very polished and considered as a whole design problem, not just putting art into a space. They kind of, yeah, took what she was trying to do and sell it through the world through the graphic design as well. So I thought that was really well done.
Brilliant. So would you highly recommend people to experience? When does it finish?
So it finishes next month. It's on to November. And yep. Look, now is a beautiful time. Going into autumn, we have beautiful sunny days, chilly enough to be wearing a cardi in the evening. But, you know, the food, if you go off the beaten tourist track, you'll get some beautiful seafood and Chianti.
Yeah, it is Italy. You know, the Italians know food.
And a couple of hours train to Florence for the day.
Stop.
I do. I highly recommend it.
It's it's something you should put on your bucket list if you're an art person.
Yeah, if you're an art freak, that's one of the, what do you call it when you have to sort of have a pilgrimage? Yeah, take the pilgrimage to Venice and see the Biennale.
Right. Jane, thank you so much for coming in. It's always lovely to have you here.
My pleasure.
Have you worked out who's coming in next time, in a couple of weeks' time? Have I put you on the spot?
You have put me on the spot. We have an illustrator coming in who's going to be talking about her sort of fashion focused work, and a couple of weeks after that we're also having one of the counsellors from the Australian Graphic Design Association coming to talk about the AGDRA Awards, which are coming
Brilliant.
Up.
Brilliant. Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
So go to Venice Biennale if you're going to Italy in the next few weeks. Otherwise, plan for two years' time. You're on Joy 94.9 at Sunday Arts Magazine.